Chapter 8, verse 12 of the Bhagavad Gita.
Verse number 12. Sarva dvarani samyamya mano hridi niruddhya cha murdhanyadhyatmana pranam asthito yoga dharanam. So, sarva dvarani samyamya. Sarva dvara, all the doors, samyamya, having controlled all the doors. Mano hriti nirudhya chita, the mind, mana. So, all having closed all the doors, the mind controlled in the heart. Murdhani adhaya atmana pranam. Murdhani atmana, in my own forehead, in my own head, adhaya, controlling, making them stationary, pranas, all my pranas controlled in my head, asthito, asthito means completely firmly controlled, sitting, how, yoga dharana, with yoga as my goal. So this is basically giving us a technique of meditation. You know, some of you come to the Thursday meditation class where we practice that. So this is the technique of meditation where the first thing is to control your sense organs. You know, that's why we sit with the eyes closed and then we try to sit in a quiet place with the door shut. So my eyes don't see anything, my ears don't hear anything. Obviously, I'm not eating at the time of meditating. I'm not near any, you know, smells or perfumes, and I'm trying to not move around or touch too many things. So the idea is that in meditation, my sense organs should be closed. So the doors are the doors of the five senses through which all the impulses reach us. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the, you know, skin and the tongue. So I see, hear, smell, taste and touch. And so constantly I'm seeing, then I'm hearing, and I'm smelling, tasting, touching. So, the mind has a tendency to run out, because the moment I see something or I'm sitting for meditation and I hear the neighbor's car and I say 6 o'clock in the morning, neighbor usually goes to work at 8, you know, so the mind, why is he, so, you know, so the mind immediately starts running out. So they say control that. If you heard the neighbor's car, it's okay, it's going, so why do I have to think about it at that time? You know, I'm sitting in meditation, but we are so, you know, worried about everything or everybody around us. So they say control your five doors, sense, eyes, ears, and do not at that moment try to indulge. So, and not only that, but even throughout the day, one should live a life of relative self-control as far as eating, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, you know, unnecessarily hearing gossip or talking things, gossip about others, or, you know, just wasting time, just uselessly surfing the net or just watching TV just because there is nothing else to do. There's nothing else to do, pick up a book and read, you know, or maybe meditate or chant his name or do some prayers or go out and do some service. So they say control your five doors and mano hriti niruttyacha, and control the mind in the heart. And we say, well, how can I control the mind in the heart? We think of the heart as being the pumping organ, you know, that is described as that heart shape, and the heart pumps the blood, and say, how can I control my mind in the heart? But in our scriptures, when they talk about hrit or heart, they do not mean the pumping heart, but they mean the seat of all good emotions, like love, compassion, kindness, justice, charity. So where are those virtues stationed? They are within us. And that's why we say he's a large-hearted person or he has a good heart. So when we say good heart, does not mean he's had a bypass. What we mean is that this person has, you know, his heart is full of love for others. So, and the heart is the place where the good qualities reside in us, and that is where God lives. Because if you think about God, you know, how do we describe God as loving, kind, forgiving, you know, unselfish, full of, you know, full of compassion, full of concern for us? Has any scripture described God as being wicked or mean or malicious or? No. That those are the qualities of the devil. That's what the Bible says. Or, but they are not divine qualities. So when we say that the mind is stationed in the heart, it means the mind is stationed where all these qualities reside. All these good qualities reside, and that's where God is. So the idea is that the mind should be centered on the divinity within. We just finished Upadesh Sar a couple of weeks ago by Vimalji, and there there's a beautiful verse. He says, Hrit sthale mana swasthata kriya bhakti yoga bodhascha nishchitam. So the mind stationed in the heart, and that is the goal of all the four paths: karma, bhakti, gyan, and meditation. Swastata, kriya, bhakti, yoga, bodh. Kriya means action, bhakti means devotion, yoga means the yogas, the meditation, and the path of knowledge. So all the four paths, whether I'm doing service, whether I'm loving the Lord, whether I'm meditating upon Him, whether I'm doing the yoga asanas, the pranayam, or whether I am reading the book, all of those four paths should end up in the mind being centered upon the Lord, upon all the divine qualities that are in my heart, and those should come, my mind should be filled with those, and then those should obviously come in my actions. Because if we say God is within me, then I should act like a divine individual, divine creature. So he says the mind stationed in the heart in total love. And that's what we even say, that in meditation, you know, your mind, you quieten it. How do you quieten? You know, by watching your breath, by relaxing the body, by chanting the mantra, by closing the eyes. And as you do those things and you chant the mantra and you watch your breath, the mind becomes quiet. And then what do you do with that quiet mind? Do you just let it wander? No, then you turn it inward and start thinking about the Lord. You know, you can think about Him as form, or you can think about Him as good qualities, like she said, you know, the prayer of Saint Francis or whatever. So the idea is that my heart should be stationed upon the Lord that is in my heart. Murdhani adhai atmana pranam. And we have talked about that also. Pranam means not only the breath. You know, pranayam is considered not only the breath, but also all my physiological functions. You know, the faculty of digestion, absorption, excretion, circulation. So all my activities and all my should be controlled at that time. You know, the idea is that I should regulate my breath, I should regulate my activities and become stationary and quieten the mind, and then focus upon the middle of the forehead, the brow, you know, Agnya Chakra. Mm-hmm. There's one technique of meditation, but the idea is that any focus of concentration, some people say meditate upon the belly button. But the idea is that the mind should be centered within, and then yoga dharana, and have the attitude of yoga. Now yoga, when we say yoga, we understand only as one thing, you know, postures. You know, and they are beautiful, they are very beneficial. But yoga has been said to have eight limbs. So Ashtanga Yoga, Ashta Anga, eight limbs. Ashta means eight limbs, yoga. So yoga actually has eight limbs. And the postures we do are only one of those eight limbs. So there was a great sage called Patanjali who gave us a lot of things, gave us the Sanskrit grammar also, he organized grammar. But he gave us this Ashtanga Yoga, eight limbed yoga. And he says in this eight limbs, there are eight limbs of spiritual evolution, of progress. One is Yama. Yama means values. Practice good values. Like we said, heart where all the good values of love, compassion, kindness. So start applying those values. So Yama means to practice the values. And then live a life of self-control. Not overindulgence. Niyama is a life of self-control. So that is also called Dhamma and Shama, you know, Shama and Dhamma. So Shama is the mind and Dhamma is the sense organs. So your mind has a tendency to leak out. So you fill your mind with love and then control your sense organs and center the mind. So together, then you do the asana, the physical postures that we do in yoga. You know, you do all the yogic exercises. And the benefit of that is not only that it relaxes you, it builds flexibility, but also when your mind is quiet, then the yoga can lead you easily into meditation. That's why they say if you do yoga or if you do breathing, which will come to the next, it is easier to prepare your mind for meditation. So the third is the physical postures, yoga. And the fourth is pranayama, breath control. And we say pranayama should be learned from a teacher who is himself or herself expert. But if you cannot find a teacher, then what we recommend is just watch the breath. You do not have to regulate. If you can do all those, you know, bhastrika and all those, yeah, that is good. But do not try to learn yourself or from a video, learn from a teacher. Or otherwise, you can just observe the breath. And when you watch the breath, the mind becomes quiet. So have them heart filled with values, self-control, physical postures, breath control. Then we say pratyahar. Pratyahar means withdraw the mind. Because the mind at this moment is constantly engaged in outside. There is a beautiful, in the Upanishad it says, Paranchik khani vyatranat swayambhu, tasmat paran pashyati na antaratmana. Swayambhu means the self-created Lord. Because we say Lord is self-created, nobody created him, he was always there. So that Lord made the sense organs to go out. And because we need the eyes to see where I'm going, to hear, to smell, taste, touch. But then what we have done is that's all we are doing. You know, we're just looking inside, outside, outside, outside. And we're not turning inward. So withdraw your sense organs and slowly reduce your dependence on things. I do not need to spend my whole life acquiring, holding 24 hours a day. No, certain amount of my time I should devote to my self-improvement, I should devote to service, you know, what I have given to me by the Lord, I should share with others. So you withdraw your mind from all these and develop that attitude of detachment and then dharana and then hold on. Decide that this is my dharana means I have firmly decided, I have held on to my spiritual goal. And then your meditation is successful. See, when we sit for meditation, you know, you say Ram, 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 Ram. And then you say, Ram Prasad, you know, he borrowed $100 from me and last month and he hasn't returned it. He's always like that. So, you know, because our mind is all the time thinking about people or things. So, when your mind is controlled through, does not mean that you wait till all these six happen and then I'll sit. No, you start meditating and then slowly, as you meditate, you will find that it becomes easier to practice values. So they kind of support each other. As you practice yoga and all these techniques, your meditation becomes better. And as you meditate, you find that your yoga becomes better, your self-control, your heart gets filled. So they kind of support each other. So then when you sit for meditation, then you go into samadhi. Samadhi is the final state, merger, where I disappear and he alone remains. And that is the final state of merger, which Jesus said, the Father in heaven and I are one. Because he had experienced that. He had actually felt it. You know, it didn't come at to him just, you know, as a statement. It came from within. Because, and same thing, all these great saints, they have become one with him. And that's why that total merger happens while living. You know, it does not mean after death, you know, yeah. And after death, of course, they go and live with the Lord. But the beauty of these saints is that they are walking divinity. You can see them walking. That's why last week we had called them as walking pilgrimage centers. You know, pilgrimage is not only in Bethlehem or Mecca, but if a saint comes to town, and if you have the pleasure of listening to him or inviting him to your house or bringing food for him, that is another way of serving the Lord, because the Lord is there. So Lord himself doesn't walk around on earth, but he uses these saints, these teachers, as his representatives. So So that's why, you know, we you know, when a saint comes, like we call him Swamiji, and we prostrate to him, the idea is we're not prostrating to his human form, but to the knowledge that he represents or she represents, because they are considered as representatives of God. So that merger or samadhi is the final state of yoga. The final state of merger is when that person himself disappears. And they say, for him to appear, I have to disappear. So I disappear does not mean that I become useless or I become worthless, but a saint becomes a very powerful instrument of the Lord. Because, see, as an individuality, my power and my abilities are so limited. You know, I am a nothing. But when I become an instrument of the Lord, then the Almighty Lord is working through me, and then my power becomes infinite. And that's why we find Jesus, you know, he passed away 2,000 years ago, and still there are billions of Christians, you know, worshipping him and reading his words and remembering him. Buddha lived 2,500 years ago, and he only had a few Buddhists, few people who were listening to him, and now there are over a billion Buddhists in the world. So that is it, because these great saints, Swami Chinmayananda, you know, he, in his lifetime, he, you know, he, whatever he did, but the mission centers continue to grow. There are 250 plus centers, and there are huge study groups, and, you know, like we have 150 children, there are some centers have 1,000 children that study every Sunday, and hundreds of people attend the lectures. Here we have 20 or 25. So the idea is that when these great saints walk upon the earth, they become instruments of change, and they change society forever. Why? Because they become instruments. It's like an ambassador, you know, himself may be nobody. But when he says, I am representing the United States of America, and then he's stationed in London or Germany or in Iraq or wherever, he has all the power of the U.S. government behind him. If he gives certain information to the U.S. government, he could actually, you know, invoke, like say, an attack or something. So he has a lot of power. And people listen to him. Why? Because he represents the US, or he represents England, or he represents India. So the whole power. So these saints represent God. And that's why they say that once that happens, that merger happens, then only your yoga is complete. So you sit with your mind controlled, with your senses controlled, closing all the doors, do not allow information to come in. Center your mind on the heart, where all the good values and the good qualities reside. And then your, even your, all your physiological functions, all your activities should be centered on the divine. When I'm breathing, I should just remember the Lord, that it is because of him I am taking a breath. When I'm moving my hand, whether I'm talking, cooking, driving, swimming, taking care of my patients, whatever activities I'm doing, I should constantly try to remember the Lord and have a determination that that is my goal. Spirituality is my goal. I have to reach him. And with that firm determination, when you sit, then your success is guaranteed. Om Sarve Antu Sukhina Sarve Sattu Niramaya Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchit Dukha.